How are you guys doing this morning? You doing good? Let's go. Well, hey, let's give it up to all of our campuses real quick. Rockport, Fulton, Portland, Padre, Stone Oak, my friends at Rockfield. So good to see you guys. Also, our prison ministry. Let's give it up to all those guys, as well as our online family. Thank you so much for joining us today. Well, hey, I also want to give some honor to Pastor Bill and Miss Jessica. Can we do that? If they've impacted your life in any way, come on now. Pastor Bill and Miss Jessica, we love you guys so much. You've had an incredible impact on our lives, my life, and we thank you so much for your friendship and your leadership. Well, hey, my name is Paul Zepeda. I'm your ministry operations pastor, and that means I've got an opportunity to get to know a lot of you guys in the areas that you serve in, whether it's been in facilities, next-gen ministry, security, missions, just to name a few, okay? And if I haven't met you yet, I would love to meet you. I'll be outside the atrium after service. I'd love to connect with you there as well. Well, I've been married for 2.5 decades. Thank you for applauding that. I can't remember the exact time, but I know it's over 2.5 decades. To my beautiful wife, Tressa, we were college sweethearts. Tressa, I love you so much. She is an incredible friend to me. She's my best friend. And then also we have 2 incredible kids, JP, he goes to school in London, plays football there. And then also my daughter, Juliana. Juliana, hi, good to see you this morning. Juliana's gonna be 10 in just a couple of days. Could we just say happy birthday, Juliana? Oh, she said, don't do that, Dad, you're embarrassing me. That's okay, I'm gonna do it the rest of your life, girl. And so I have 2 incredible kids, and listen, they're awesome, but parents, I got a preteen now in 2 days, and I got a teenager who the grocery bill has gone up exponentially with. And so pray for me if you can relate. You know what I'm saying? Man, I love my kids. I love my family. And hey, I want to tell you a little bit about myself, though. I grew up in H-Town. My Houston people, let me hear you real quick. H-Town, that's right. H-Town, listen, back in the 80s and 90s, I know I'm aging myself, and I will do that several times today. Just bear with me. In the 80s and 90s, the place to hang out, the spot, the hangout was the Galleria. I was a mall rat, y'all. My mom would drop me off at 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning with $25 in my pocket, and I'd roll up and hang out with my crew all day. She'd pick us up at 6 o'clock that night. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have air tags in our shoes. Come on now. She didn't know what we were doing. And one Saturday morning, we rolled up there, and I had my Vans on, my Z Cavaricis, you know, popping out of mom's station wagon. And I roll out and I run into my friend who we're about to hang out with the rest of the day. And he goes, hey, man, I got a plan today. And I'm like, yeah, the plan is we're going to hang out at the mall. And he goes, no, man, I got a better plan. There's a brand new building across the street that they built. It's called the Transco Tower. It's now called Williams Trace Tower. Maybe you've seen it. It's in Uptown Houston. It's beautiful. It's all glass. Got a beautiful fountain on the outside. It's a beautiful building. I wasn't thinking that when I was in high school. I was thinking, wait a second, we're supposed to be at the mall. And he goes, no, man, we're going to go across the street and go to the tower. There's an observation level. We're going to go check it out. We're going to check out the whole city when we get up there, man. It's going to be amazing. And I'm like, you don't know my mama. This is not a good plan, bro. And he goes, come on, let's go. So we skip across the highway. That'd be like going through the front doors of the church and going walking across SPID or across Town Expressway. Look, this mom is giving me a disapproving no right now. She's a good parent. You're a good parent, I'm telling you right now. And so we go through the doors, these beautiful glass doors of this building. No one stops us. It's Saturday. I keep on getting these approving no's from different moms right now. I'm going to start over here. We go through the doors of this beautiful building, and literally no one stops us. And then we kind of truck across the atrium, and no one's there to say, hey, don't go there. And then we make our way to the elevator, and we hop in the elevator, and my buddy stops. I'm like, why are you stopping now, bro? And he goes, I'm looking at all the numbers, and I don't see anything that says observation level. I'm like, okay, good, let's get back to the mall. And he goes, no, bro, we're gonna start pushing buttons. None of them are closing the door, though. The door's remaining wide open to the elevator. He goes through the 60s, the 50s, he finally gets down to the mid-40s, and I'm like, okay, let's get out of here. He gets to like 47, 46. I can't remember which one. It's a long time ago. and the door closes. Man, the adrenaline kicked in. I don't know if it was the Sbarro pizza and Orange Julius that we had for breakfast that morning, but all of a sudden, we're like, let's go. We're jamming to elevator music now. And we begin to climb floor by floor by floor. Finally, we get to that floor, and the door opens, and we're like, man, this is going to be amazing. It's going to be an incredible view. We're not even supposed to be in here. And when the door opens and we jump out, we're like, there's nothing. It's just a bunch of offices. This is weird. Like, you can't even see out the windows. Like, we're on the wrong floor. We're on the wrong floor. The door opened to the wrong floor. So then we started, like, trying to come up with another plan. And my buddy goes, hey, man, they got to have stairs. So we go around the side of the offices, and sure enough, there's a stairwell sign. And we open up the door, and my buddies start taking off up the stairs. And as he's going up, I'm the last one walking through the door. And I turn around, and I'm like, the door's closing. I might want to check the click. And I go to check the door, and it's locked, y'all. And I'm like, hey, slow down. We're stuck in the staircase. And like, it's okay, we'll check the next floor. They run up, click, click, click. It's locked. They go up again. Click, click, click. That's locked too. All the way up to 50-something. I go, hey, man, there's no observation level in this building. You know that, right? And we're going to die in this stairwell. And literally, it's so hot. There's no AC in the stairwell. We're sweating. I'm actually crying, but I'm allowing myself to sweat because it's covering my tears at this moment. It's like, my mom is going to kill us if she finds out. And we begin the long descent down the stairs, floor by floor by floor. And we checked every door, and every single one of them is locked. After doing our reverse Stairmaster workout for I don't know how long, we finally get to the second floor, and I'm like, you know, I'm just going to check this door. This is the last door. I'm just going to check it. And I grab the door, and it opens. And as we're basking in the fresh air of outside, we hear this booming voice say, hey, what are you boys doing? You're not supposed to be in this building. And we took off and ran. We ran so fast, man, I never saw the face of that voice, but I sure heard the door slam. Church, my question to you today is, what door do you need to close? And what door does God need to open? Hey, listen, God has opened some incredible doors in my life. Incredible doors. Come on, come on. I'm here at Church Unlimited serving on team here. It's a phenomenal blessing. I've had opportunities to be married to my wife for over 2.5 decades, 2 incredible kids. We've got so many stories to share. God has opened some doors. Can you relate to that? Good. Because you also know when you open a door, sometimes you get stuck behind the door. Or sometimes you walk through a door, and when you get there, it's not everything you thought it would be. There's some opposition. Maybe you get through the door, and the walls are crumbling down all around. Today, church, you walked into open doors, whether it was online or one of our campuses. You walked in through an open door. I believe that God has opened that door. Man, have you ever heard the saying, God opens doors? Let me educate you real quick. God opens doors. And there's also another part of that saying, that no man can shut. Oh, somebody went to Bible school. God opens doors that no man can shut. Did you walk through open doors today? Yes. Did God open the door for you to be here today? Yes. Think about that for a second. What were you carrying today with you when you walked through the open door? What burden were you carrying today? The heft of it, the weight of it, the heaviness, the looming presence of it. God sees it, although no one else sees it. You feel this weight that you carry it through an open door. This burden that you're carrying reminds me of a story of a man named Nehemiah who faced an incredible burden in his life. It was after God had opened an incredible door. We're about to unpack the burden that he felt, but I want you to take a moment right now. Right now. What are you carrying? What's weighing you down? I want you to think about it. Will you take a moment right now to place that burden before God's feet? Will you do that right now? Take a second right now to do that. Say, God, I can't carry it anymore. I don't want to carry it. I need you to take it from me. Nehemiah was an ordinary man with an extraordinary plan. God had opened an incredible door for him to live in the lap of luxury. He actually was employed by the king of the time. 455 years before Jesus came, this king was named King Artaxerxes. And King Artaxerxes trusted Nehemiah. As a matter of fact, Nehemiah was his cupbearer. What that meant was whatever the king ate, Nehemiah got to eat. Whatever the king drank, Nehemiah got to drink. And as a matter of fact, if it was poisoned because he was the cupbearer, then Nehemiah died first. That's how much he trusted, and the king trusted him with his life. He had a relationship of trust. If you're carrying a burden, do you trust the one who can take the burden from you? Because here's what Nehemiah did. I felt like he was so radical. So radical, man. Because so often when I hear of a problem, and if I hear walls are crumbling down, I want to run to that problem and help out. And here's what Nehemiah does with the burden. He heard that his town, the town of his ancestors, had been torn down. And marauders were breaking in, and people were coming and taking from the people anytime they wanted. And Nehemiah said, man, I need to do something. I need to help out. See, you know what the first thing he did was? Nehemiah sat and he wept and he prayed. Nehemiah 1:4 says this, when I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. Too often, what do we do with the burden? Hey man, I gotta fix it. I gotta fix it. I'm gonna fix it right now. I'm gonna go ahead and put it in place. I'm gonna do it on my own. That's not what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah stopped. And there's a little bit of cause in the pause. And when he stopped, he said, I'm going to bring it not just to my king, I'm going to bring it to the king. Yes, yes. When you're carrying that burden, are you quick to fix it? Or do you stop and pray to the one who can fix it? I love that Nehemiah does this. I think it's bold. I think it's radical. I think in our microwave society where we got to get things done fast and quick, there's power in that. Stop. Feel the burden. Pray. Weep. But give it to God. Nehemiah had this burden, so Nehemiah prayed. Today's message is how to rebuild what's broken. Lessons from Nehemiah. Point number one is this. Nehemiah had a burden, so Nehemiah prayed. We talked about what's breaking you right now. We talked about what you walked in with, what you're carrying. Nehemiah doesn't stop there, though. I love that he continues to have this conversation, not just with God, but also his king. And we pick up in chapter 2, verse 4 through 5, he says this, the king said to me, what is it that you want, Nehemiah? Then I prayed, he prays again, to the God of heaven, and I answered the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it. Nehemiah is not an engineer. Nehemiah is not an architect, yet he's going to go rebuild the city walls? Why? Because he was willing to come up with a plan. Man, you want to be someone that's got a plan? You got some great plans? Then you got to act on the plans. Nehemiah is a man who put his plan into action. Some of you have some phenomenal plans, but have you prayed about them first? And then have you laid those plans and talked to God about those plans? Because too often, I know what I do. I rush through it, and then I start to put my plan in action. And when I put my plan in action, you better believe there's some prayer right behind it, because I should have prayed first. Slow down. Pray. Plan. Then you can continue to move forward. And I love that Nehemiah, listen, he's showing us by putting a plan in action that faith isn't just believing in something. He wasn't just believing that the wall is going to be built. He literally put his belief in action. And he took the opportunity to go back to J-Town and begin to employ the people of the town. Listen, they weren't architects or builders either. He said, you're going to help me build this wall so that the marauders and the enemies will stop taking from us. They rebuilt city gates. They began to rebuild sections of their walls. And when they did that, something crazy began to happen. They began to get to know one another. The neighbors that they had been living with and hanging out with and not doing anything about the wall were now moved into action, and they begin to build what we would call a community. Think about that for a second. You walked through some open doors today that got opened. You came in with something. Maybe it was a light burden, a heavy burden. You sat in these chairs, and then you worship and prayed and talked to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Some of you sit in the same chairs week in and week out. You know how I know? Because I sit in my chair week in and week out. But do you know the people who sit around you? At some point, Nehemiah stopped looking at the rubble on the ground, and he started looking at the people all around. And he said, hey, I need your help. I can't do this on my own. Did you walk in here alone? Did you walk in here with maybe just your family? And then you walk out not knowing anybody else around you. This is the church. The church ain't the four walls. This is the church, no matter what campus you're at. We're Church Unlimited. Yet you sit in these seats week in and week out at your campus, and sometimes we're guilty of this at times. We don't know the people around us. Get to know the people around you and watch what God begins to do. Nehemiah shows us that although you may begin to build a community, get to know some people, sometimes after the doors open, you begin the rebuilding process and build some community, sometimes there's just some opposition. You know what I'm talking about? You're like, man, God, you open the door, but why is this happening? The past couple of years of my life have been phenomenal. We've been able to serve at Rodfield, at Stone Oak, back at Stone Oak, Corpus, got a new house, got a new school for the kids. They're thriving. And then about 2 years ago, we got some horrible news that we had to pause on. That my hero, my dad, my father, who adopted me and raised me my whole life, was diagnosed with cancer. We prayed. We planned. And then we also proceeded to bury him this past December. My father sat in a chair much like you at this church one weekend. And at the end of the service, his hand went up and he received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. So I know my Father is restored in heaven. I know that he is rebuilt. I know that he is with his Lord. He is with his Savior. But it doesn't make it any easier to know that I can't pick up the phone and call him. I still listen to his last voice message to me almost every day. Sometimes when you lose somebody, you could be in a room this big and surrounded by all these people, but you still feel alone. That burden that I carry through grieving and being tired. I couldn't prepare this message alone. I have to have a community too. My wife has to have a community too. My family has to have a community. We use this church. And listen, when you face an obstacle, you gotta proceed, man. Nehemiah didn't stop. He had a determination that proceeds. I'm not gonna allow my father's death and my grieving and my tiredness to stop me from proceeding. Have that type of determination. There's gonna be some obstacles. There's gonna be some hardships. There's gonna be some tough stuff in the way. There's gonna be distractions, but you do not stop. Nehemiah didn't stop building the wall. He even had friends that made fun of him while he was building the wall. He had friends that were making fun of him for being on top of the wall. Like, you don't know what you're doing, bro. And Nehemiah never came off the wall. He continued to build the wall. Stay on the wall. Don't stop. Because I tell you what, my best friends, they take me where I need to go, not always where I want to go. My best friends encourage me. My best friends laugh with me. My best friends pray with me. My friends help rebuild me even though I'm struggling right now. You can find that in this place and in this space. Don't leave here alone ever again. Get involved. Jump in on teams. Start serving. Go out to the Next Step Center kiosk. Use the QR code behind you. We have so many ways. This isn't, I'm pleading with you. I'm leading you. Because other people have led me. I was a volunteer at this church before I was ever on staff. I opened doors. I helped out in the student ministry. Now I get to serve here. I get to serve you. Who are you missing out serving because you're not involved in community here? And I get it. The easiest thing to do when you're grieving, you're tired, you don't want to carry it around anymore, is you put it back in its place all by yourself. You are meant for more. The people in these seats, the people at your campus, even the people online that you get to connect with and pray with, you are meant for more. Don't miss out on what God has for you. Because my friends, I'll tell you what, my friends will help me at the drop of a hat. Pastor Zach is a great friend of mine. Pastor Zach, come on up here. Pastor Zach loves me. He's prayed with me. He's checked in on me. He's helped me. Man, Joel, come on up here. Man, I love you, Pastor Zach. Man, Joel is my assistant. He helps me out in all the areas where we need to serve. Joel, do we stay busy?
Oh, every hour.
Yeah, yeah. Love it. Hey, I tell you what, I got so many people that love to help me. Man, John, come on up here. Matter of fact, John helps out in facilities. If you don't know John, he's an incredible man of character, integrity. Always encouraged me. John, did I build this wall this week?
I did.
He did. I didn't build it. And that's the crazy thing about Nehemiah. Nehemiah never put a brick in place. Do you catch that? He utilized his friends, his neighbors, and they became more like family. He wasn't an engineer. He wasn't an architect. He went to his king, but he prayed and talked to the king. And when he did, God gave him the resources and blessed and ordained the plan and allowed him to use his community. Church, God is not concerned about building a wall. God is concerned about building his people. Allow God to build you and reshape you with others that are willing to help you. That's the church, being the church. And I don't care your age or your stage. Hey, thank these guys real quick. God is less concerned about your age and your stage. He's more concerned about what you're willing to do. Because I'll tell you, one of the best things that I've done through my grieving this year is help people. Get outside of myself and go help someone else. And that's what these friends have been for me. And listen, I could have invited so many other people up in this room up here today to help, but I don't want you to help me. I want you to help the people that we have yet to even reach and talk to yet. Our mission as a church is to take as many people to heaven as we can before we die. then if we mean it, we got to live it out. And it starts today. If you're ready to jump back into serving or serve for the first time, I want to ask you to do something bold, bold like faith like Nehemiah had. I want you to raise your hand right now and say you're ready to jump back in. I see you. I see you. Thank you for all these hands going up. Thank you. I'm telling you right now, God's going to use you. There's somebody you haven't even met yet. It could be somebody sitting around you. It could be somebody who has yet to walk through the open doors. Please, understand, I'm not pleading with you. I'm loving you and I'm leading you. Get involved here. It changed my life. It changed my marriage. It changed my fatherhood. It changed my ministry. It changed how I see myself. And even though I'm hurting right now, it allows me to stand before you and share with you that God loves you. That God cares for you. And I love that Nehemiah talked to his king. We have an opportunity to talk to the king. And he will open doors for you that no man can shut. And when you face opposition, he'll surround you with people like this so that you can continue to love on people like this. And maybe today was your first time here today. Maybe today you walked in today and said, God, I'm giving you just one last chance. Well, this is the same God that has given you hundreds, if not thousands, of chances. Yet he loves you just the way you are, but he wants your heart so he can take you even further. Are you willing to give him your heart? And some change and some opposition is going to come. But then if you continue to stay here and be here, God's going to ordain that plan, and he's going to continue to surround you with people like these that are in these seats to encourage you and walk with you. And just like Nehemiah, you don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to be an architect of your life. God's the architect. He's designed it. You don't have to be an engineer and know every single step. God is the ultimate engineer. Are you willing to trust him? So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you and you're ready to trust him, then just say this prayer with me. Say, dear Jesus, I ask that you come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord, be my leader, and be my friend. I turn away from my old life. I ask you to become king in my new life. It's in your name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, if you said that prayer, would you raise your hand right now? We are so proud of you. Oh my gosh, we are so proud of you. You are incredible. There's people in this community already celebrating you. Remember, church, let's continue to be a church that prays first, that plans second, and then proceeds with the one who knows all the plans. As we live together in community. Pastor.